Hello and welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Under. Today we have a fabulous guest all the way from sunny California, I think, but we'll find out. I'm sure she'll remind me. Her new, I think it's a webisode, I would say, Watchster for Gib is available on Amazon now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Erin Dooley's in the house. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Good to talk to you.
So I guess we should start right at the beginning. Why walking? Why is this your thing?
Well, 6 years ago now, yeah, it's been 6 years, to Spain to walk the Camino de Santiago. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it's a 500-mile pilgrimage. And so I was going through a divorce at the time, and so I had wanted to go on that pilgrimage for a long time and decided to do that. And I filmed that experience and made a documentary about it. And from that, I just have not stopped going for long walks since that experience. So, and then I've given talks on forgiveness, and it sort of became just a part of, I guess, my life's mission in a way to talk about forgiveness and help others forgive, and combined with the walking, because there's something about putting your feet on the ground and, I don't know, you just have different conversations when you're walking with somebody than even if you're just like meeting with that same friend over coffee. So yeah, I mean, I just love getting out in nature, seeing new places. So it just suits me, I suppose.
I'm sure you've answered this question many times, but you haven't answered to me. Who are you forgiving while you walked?
I was, since I was going through the divorce, on my documentary, yeah, it was my former husband, and just sort of greeting the end of that marriage. We were married for over 12 years. So that was, yeah, a lot going on emotionally there. And then with this experience, Walks to Forgive, I am just sort of taking a backseat and learning about other people's experiences. And I wanted to highlight different stories, not just that same sort of like spousal, you know, a relationship, like a romantic relationship. I wanted to explore some other things.
Before we get a little bit more film, I have a couple more quick questions. Do you pack snacks for your walk, or tell the people you're on your video to pack snacks? Because the only time I see one person drinking water, and that's the only time I've ever seen somebody consuming something. So is that a normal procedure you tell them? Say, hey, bring snacks, I'm going to get a pair of shoes, or how do you approach them?
Only if they give me the goods on camera do I feed and let them drink. No, I'm kidding. yeah, I mean, we had snacks. I just didn't film that. And the first episode, we walked with the group, and that's a group that hikes in California. There's, I think it's like 500 or 600 miles up the California Missions, and they have a big support network of people. And so someone came along the way and pulled their car, and they had all the snacks available for us. So yeah, we stay hydrated and stay fed while we're moving along. Yeah.
So when you're walking 500 miles in your first documentary, how many pairs of shoes did you wear?
Only one. Other people pack two. I mean, in the evening, like walking around the towns, I would wear a different pair, but yeah, I'm not sponsored by North Face, but those shoes did an awesome job for me. So yeah. And some people even like burn their shoes at the end. And I was like, I still have more miles in these. And I actually walked through Ireland with them. Those took me 1,000 miles, those North Face shoes. Yeah. So some people do. It just, yeah, depends. I guess I'm not as hard on my feet.
Where do you find the people you want to interview, or do they come to you?
For these three episodes, two of the people I did know, and the second and third episode, Daniel and Jennifer, I knew them, and I did know Belinda actually well. I had then put out on my social media and just asked if people wanted to share their stories, and it was just sort of kismet, I guess. She had just had her sort of final experience with her. Her father had passed away, and she had just gotten his ashes and had sort of her big moment at Father's Day. And then I think it was a week later that I had posted. And so it was all very much on the forefront of her mind. So she reached back out to me that she wanted to share her story. And then since releasing it, I've had some people say, hey, if you're going to, you know, do more episodes for the season or do something more, we're interested in sharing their stories.
Now, at one point, it looked like this was filmed during COVID. You can correct me if I'm wrong. So what were your issues filming during COVID?
Yeah, it was entirely filmed during COVID. It was in the summer where things were a little bit starting to loosen up. And so I live in California. I live in the Los Angeles County, and that's where Belinda, we filmed that episode. And so we just wore masks, and it was the group, but we were walking sort of spread up outside the whole time. And then it was just me filming it. I had just all of my camera equipment and sound equipment, so there was no other crew. So it was easy to just me stay masked, and I was 6 feet or more away with the camera. And so it was all very safely filmed during COVID, yeah.
Hold on. It's just you filming all this?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk this out. So what stuff do you bring? I mean, I know at one point it looks like you're using a selfie stick, I would say, in a couple shots.
Yeah.
But yeah. there's shots where you are walking. I know when you're walking, you're holding a selfie stick. But you have shots of people far away. You're not using a selfie stick for those.
Yeah, I would, if they were solo, then I had two cameras. I had my GoPro and then I have my Panasonic. And so I would just, you know, run ahead of them. And, you know, I had everything. I have my water bottle. I have my camera. I have my other camera. And so I would just like double, you know, I would run up, let them walk towards me. And then I would just turn around in case I wanted them walking away from me. And when we were in New Orleans with Daniel, he is also a filmmaker and he's got a really great eye. So, and he walks in that park all the time. So he knew all of these beautiful places where we could set up. So then I would put the camera on, like the one that's the image behind you. That's the title image now, that we just set up the tripod from across the street in the park, like from the entryway, because it has those beautiful Spanish moss falling. And yeah, so it was just a lot of hustle for the money shots.
Okay, this may be a strange question. When you're filming somebody and they're talking to you, telling them their story, and you're a one-person crew, how many retakes have you had to take?
Well, the production value is not what I hoped, especially in Belinda's. And that was the first time Belinda shared her full story. Her mother was in the room because I had interviewed her mother as well. Her mom knew some of her story, but she didn't know all the details. And so I really had one shot, because to get that emotion that is in the episode, when she breaks down and she says that she's never said this to anybody, you know, I couldn't ask her to redo that. So I had to go with the one. So I did have two cameras set up so that I could cut in between. But unfortunately, the sound traffic had picked up, and she lives on a very busy street, and I didn't hear it with my own ears that it was coming. So yeah, I mean, it would be better if I had other people, but I was trying to do it on as low a budget as possible. So yeah, some things aren't as perfect as I would like to do if I could pay other people to help me.
Now, I do notice a production difference between episode 1 and 2 and 3. I find you changed your shooting style up a lot. Now, did you shoot episode 1 first and then 2 and 3, or do you go 2, 3, and 1?
I shot it in reverse order. I shot 3, then 2, then 1. I'm pretty sure. Because I flew. I'm from Chicago, and so that's why I knew Jen. And I shot her, and then I went down to New Orleans, and then I came back and shot Belinda's episode. So, yeah, I think it was in exact reverse order. Yeah, what stylistic? I'm curious, like, what
impressions. I just noticed that the first 2 and 3 seem very similar shooting. The same person shot both of them, I would argue. And I'd say on 1, you totally changed your style. Like, you were looking for something different. A lot more tight closeness. I don't have the vastness I do in 2 and 3. So I thought you went opposite versions. So I do feel on 3, on 1, you were getting tighter into your subject. Maybe it was the subject matter. I felt your interviewee didn't want faraway shots, and maybe you wanted a little more tightness between us and the viewer. That's what I'm asking about. How did you feel the change in your shooting style then?
Well, the interview, like the headshot kind of, that was just for practical purposes. we were shooting at her apartment and the light was coming in from one window kind of in a weird way. And so I was just trying to crop things out. And it's a smaller apartment. And so just trying to frame out things that I didn't want in the frame is why they were a little bit tighter. And then the light changed cause I was there for hours. And so you can even see it playing on her face and I couldn't do anything about that. Well, I didn't notice it while it was happening. And then as far as when we were walking, I think because it was not as, we weren't in nature, that portion of that walk is all urban. And so I would try to like steal those pieces of nature that we could find along the paths. Cause we were just walking through residential areas. And then once we hit Pasadena, we were walking right on, for those that are in the area, Colorado Boulevard. And that's just pure urban. So that was also part of the tightness to just keep it focused on her and not, yeah, wanting to get lost in the vastness that is the urban landscape.
Okay. So let's discuss shooting style, just so you know where I'm still going with this. When you're shooting, are you looking for more nature shots then all the time than urban? Because I find in Chicago, you do have urban shots, but they're kind of, again, far away urban shots, like especially with her. And New Orleans, I think you just have such a nice culture of community there. Like, I can see the difference. I think that just allows itself, the landscape, to give you more shots.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, that was my first time to New Orleans. And so I did, you know, I was just, like, soaking it all up and loving all of that and wanting sort of those iconic things. We only went to the French Quarter once. So it's just in the opening when I say where I am, that you can see, you know, the typical balconies that you associate sort of with New Orleans. And with Chicago, I did like that sort of juxtaposition there because, and being from Chicago, and I just think it's such a beautiful skyline. And so I knew it precisely growing up there. I knew if we were on this one part of the lakefront, we'd get a good shot. Unfortunately, where I really wanted to shoot, we couldn't get to because of COVID. They had all that parking was completely restricted, so we had to go somewhere else. But I did want to show for people that are in urban areas, if they don't have, you know, a huge park in their backyard, that you can find it and you can just go. And people in Chicago, they of course love their lakefront and they do utilize that. So I suppose it was a little bit subconscious, maybe of how I was choosing to show those things. For those other episodes.
Do you feel after interviewing a person, because so far you haven't interviewed a group, I don't know if that's going to be in the future, do you feel they feel better when they're done the interview? Or do they feel forgive? Because sometimes they can't forgive, it sounds like.
Right. I know that for Belinda, it was definitely really cathartic for her to share that, and particularly to have her mother in the room. And to have that sort of chapter closed a little bit, you know, more fully for her. And it was a beautiful moment. I felt very honored that she let me film her and to hear that story. So she, I feel like that really helped her. Jen, didn't forgive, but she's working on forgiving herself. So that was unique. Because for me, I'm like, everybody should forgive, like Oprah, like you forgive, you forgive, you forgive. And I forget that, you know, some situations are just really gut-wrenching and difficult to forgive. And then I think I read some like neurological study that some people are just more predisposed in their nature to forgive, which was super interesting. So I think Jen wanted to tell her story, though, even separate from the forgiveness aspect. She was, for what had happened. And Daniel, he's a pretty good friend, full disclosure. And like he used to live in California. And so I knew him. And when he had shared that part of his story, that's more in his past. So he... I don't know if it was, but even people that he knew have watched it and said, oh, I didn't know that about you and didn't know that about your past. But that was more in his past. I would like to have more stories that are more in the moment. Like they're still working through their forgiveness. Whereas A number of these are a little bit, a few steps beyond.
Okay. In episode 2 with Jen, I find you focus more on her than you do on the walk. Was that a definite emphasis on you, that you thought her story was, not say more interesting than the other ones, just different? Because I never heard that type of story from an individual before, especially a mom. It kind of surprised me. That
And I guess, I tried to, and also just where the forest preserves, I think it's, you know, I learned about the forest preserves that I didn't know that Chicago had the first forest preserves in the country. I didn't know that, you know, the sort of history of them. And I wanted to add that to each of the episodes to let you know about where we were walking. But beyond that general information about them, they were okay. And I guess because I'm a little bit spoiled now, having hiked through mountains and other things where, you know, it all just looked the same. And so I tried to, you know, get some B-roll. But then we did so much, you know, we did film in Chicago and then, you know, by her house, just again to highlight that. So it was probably the least focused on like this specific walk, this path, just by nature of the logistics of the really, we would have had to drive like 3 hours to get to like where I had wanted to go. And she was, she didn't have the time to drive that far to, you know, cause that would be 3 hours each way. That's almost a full day just driving. So, it was more logistical, I guess, than anything. And to try to share, cause it is an interesting story. I didn't know anything about parental alienation. I didn't go through, anything like that. So I guess I did find it interesting and to try to let her share as much as her story as she was willing to.
This must be tough. This is an independent filmmaker question directly to you. To drive that 3 hours and you not be able to do it, do you find that crushing? Because, I mean, you're an independent filmmaker. You have no budget. You have an idea. You have an ideal. That's where I want to go. You've done your research. And then your dreams get crushed. How does that work?
I mean, it was a little bit like I, you know, would have preferred to perhaps go, but I was just trying to roll with, you know, and get it done however I could, because I was already up against other things out of my control. I'm filming during COVID. I'm, you know, just, I only had, you know, certain allotted amount of time. And I was like, well, I guess it does, you know, again, logistically make some sense to spend less time in the car and, you know, just so sort of pivot, you know, whenever you're an indie filmmaker, you're always pivoting. You have to be more creative. You have to just be like, oh yes, I definitely meant it that way because of this, even though you're like, no, I just had that available to me. It was less money. It was whatever. And just because I wanted to like prove this concept and I do want to make more episodes. So because I was envisioning longer episodes, I was envisioning more for future episodes. So I thought, well, it's okay if I had some constrictions on these 3 episodes because I know that I want to grow it. And this was just me filming some pretty solid episodes to say, this is the show in general, like a smaller scale version of what I want. And then hopefully, you know, other people can come alongside me and help to grow it to a bigger show.
How many episodes are you thinking of doing? Are you looking at a season or are you just going to let it run? And if you do 100, you do 100 and you're just going to leave it as 100?
It all kind of depends on, you know, if I'm able to get other, you know, a bigger production company. Because, again, I'm just sort of this one-woman show that does my own thing. So trying to pitch it out really to other people and see if there's interest. Because people, you know, have left, you know, positive reviews. And so there is an audience for it. And I think especially given our times, the tone of forgiving and, you know, plugging back into nature, I think there is an audience for it. So it's kind of up in the air right now, depending on if I can get some other funding, I guess, and other people involved to make it what it should be. And so that I can be a little bit more purposeful in some things that I wanted to do and be able to do them.
So when somebody gets in contact with you, how much research do you do on that person? Or do you chat with them on the phone? And then you have to research your walk. So I guess it's a two-part question.
Yeah, I did have with these 3 episodes, I did, again, know the 3 people ahead of time. Belinda, I had only met once before. We just, our paths happened to cross, and that's how she was already following me on Instagram when I had posted. But yeah, I called and we talked for a couple of hours, and I heard her story and, you know, took notes and figured out what I wanted to ask more questions on the day of. And then I did try to pair the walk if I could, because in California, again, we could have walked anywhere, and I specifically chose the walk that I did to a highlight a bigger walk, because I think there are so many great marked paths, and I wanted to highlight that. And then this one really paired well with her because she's Catholic, and there's the walk to all of the Catholic missions, and so it paired. It was just a good symmetry to show that. And yeah, with Jen, I did speak with her for a couple of hours on the phone, and we've known each other for years. So I knew some of her story. I didn't know much of it or the details and the depth of it. So it would be different, you know, if there were people that I didn't know, you know, had no foreknowledge of, then yeah, it would be a different approach to it. But yeah, I mean, I've looked up as far as the walks. I know a lot of the different walks that I personally would love to explore. So if I can, you know, meet somebody like along the Appalachian Trail, I would love it. So that would give me a reason to go, because I've been trying to get to New Orleans for years. Like three different times I was meant to go, and just flight was delayed and canceled because of snow once. And it was so, I was glad to finally be able to go. I was glad Daniel lives there.
So this might be a weird question. After doing these spiritual walks with people and discussing them, and you do to provide insights with them, and I do think you have a little bit of a narrative on them, like your own personal narrative. Do you feel like a guru at times about walking?
I should probably be more, because I've done more of it. Because even I went hiking today by myself, and I was like, oh, I know that there's like hiking etiquette, like who is going up and who's going down and who's supposed to give way to the other person. And I'm just like, I'm just going to give way to people. I know that because I forget. So I should know more than I do. I try to be, you know, I try to, you know, I do research ahead of time, but I know, like even on the Camino, I missed a lot because I was just trying to be present in the moment, and I didn't have my guidebook open every day. And so people are like, oh, did you see such and such on our walk today? I'm like, nope, sure didn't. I was talking to so-and-so. So I should get better at that. Because I find it all interesting. And I've done, you know, I've walked in Scotland. I've walked in Ireland. So I enjoy the walking of it. But I have to, yeah. So I try to be, but I know that I can always, there's always room for growth, I will say, in that department.
Do you have a certain length you'd like for each of your episodes?
For these, I was trying to hit around 20 minutes, which is what I originally thought maybe they'd be an hour. But again, since they were more after the fact, a lot of these, I thought there wasn't like the day to day. Because if I interview people that are more in the throes of whatever they're having to forgive, then the longer walks, like each day I could interview like, okay, how are you feeling today? Did, you know, anything really spark? And so for that, I thought maybe a 45 minute, cause I looked at, I watched, Intervention as I was even just like planning the pacing of the show and things like that. Cause I think it's like, to me, a mashup of like Extreme Home Makeover and, an Intervention where, you know, I don't know, like, cause they're feel good shows. I mean, obviously Extreme Home Makeover is more feel good than Intervention, but the Intervention where you see them where they are, and then you see the struggle, and then you hope, you know, you see where they are after the fact. And that is what I would like if I was, again, more while they're trying to forgive. And even taking two people, you know, if father and son or, you know, whomever are at odds, and then taking them both on the walk and then hearing from them both. And because there are, you know, this is just one person's story each episode. And so, you know, to try to have those different opinions, because, you know, some things, they aren't going to be black and white. It's like, oh, well, you perceived it this way, and that you perceived it this way. So I think to show that also to the audience would be good, so that things aren't always, you know, just cut and dry, black and white, that it's understanding the other person's point of view that can help you to forgive. And so, yeah, there's definitely, like, more that I want to do. with the show if I answered your original question. I think I took my own trail and went.
I have one more question. When you're doing the episode, I just want to go back to the Jen episode briefly. Jen doesn't feel forgiveness. Now, does that upset you when you spent this time and you're here hoping you should forgive? That's, I think, the point of your walk. So do you feel a need to go back to Jen in the future and go, hey, are you ready to forgive? Can we do another episode? Or do you leave that story alone and just say, okay, I'm done with that?
Well, what I think was good was that at the end, you know, where she did turn to forgive herself, and the way that I tried to wrap it up was saying that it could be her first step and maybe down the line she would, or that might just be all she's able to forgive us herself for, you know, the choices she had to make because of what had happened. Yeah, it was a little bit, but again, like everybody is on their different journey of, you know, and again, some people don't have it in them, you know, or they are up against something that maybe if I was in that same situation, I wouldn't be able to either. I think that what her episode shows is the difference between, you know, letting go, closure. You know, there's a lot of these different phrases that I think, to her point that she says in her episode, that they get all sort of convoluted, that they're all the same thing and they're not. And I think a lot of people say that they forgive for yourself, not the other person. For me, I don't think that that's true. When you're forgiving somebody, it is like you're letting that other person, like saying that the debt that you owe me, the debt, whatever that is no longer there. So it is for that other person. And I think that she would never, at this point, she is not there to forgive that debt to her former husband. So I think that it's okay how it was, because it shows the truth that a lot of people aren't. And it did take me a little bit aback. I'm like, oh, like, you know, I do want to like help her forgive, but you know, you never know the seeds that you plant, and you know, it might take some time for her to get there. But maybe someday, you know, down the line, she'll arrive there, and maybe this would have some part in that journey for her.
Okay. In your episode, when you're wrapping up, there's a painted picture behind you when you're doing your actual episodes. Who painted that?
Well, you know, I'll take down this foresty background and you'll see that again. Oh. Let's see here. I know how to do it. How do I, I can't do it. Sorry. That's the cover of my documentary of A Way to Forgiveness. So that is me in the painting and, a gal that I met. So the Camino de Santiago, there is a big organization in the States for people that have walked or will walk. And there's different chapters, and Southern California is the biggest chapter in the US. So a woman that I met there, she's a painter. And so I commissioned it from her and I love it. And it's, so I just kept moving it around my house and was doing my wrap ups in different rooms, depending on, again, like the light that was coming through the windows and things. So
you just thought I wouldn't notice that. That was it. I did notice the painting went with you. So
yeah. Well, at first I had filmed all of them in the same day. And then after I edited them a second round, I changed the way that I wrapped up episodes. So everything was meant to be like a Belinda where we were there, my wrap up for that one. And then I changed it. And then I was like, well, I can't have one be different. Like they all have to be different now. There's only three. So then, and I wanted to change because once the election happened with Daniel, I thought Daniel's episode needed a little bit of a tweak for, because I thought his story might resonate differently before the election. It might not have hit people the same way. And I just thought, well, now that people are coming, butting heads a bit more frequently, perhaps, with people that they disagree with politically and ideologically, that might hit home a little bit more. So, I was re-recording the wrap-ups. So, that's why I did that.
Okay, it's time for some fun questions. This is your first time on the show. Everybody gets one question the same, so I apologize to people. I don't, but everything else is different. Your favorite film?
This is so silly, but for me, favorite would be the movie that I would watch in a heartbeat any given day. I will watch the movie Clue, like, any day of the week. My friend from Chicago, we will just like text each other, be like, I'm going to watch it. And we'll just both put it on in the background of what we're doing and we'll watch it together. So I know it's silly, but it makes me laugh every time.
It makes me laugh because I didn't expect that from Watch the Forgive director. I'm going to say that's not what I expected.
Yes, I'm an enigma wrapped in a mystery. No.
I love it. I love it. You've done many, many, many walks. So I have to ask the favorite place you've ever walked.
I will say I was in Scotland not this past summer, the one before, and Scotland charmed me unexpectedly. And just as a country, and it was gorgeous. It was I haven't done a walk, a technical walk through the Grand Tetons. The Grand Tetons is the most beautiful place in the United States, in my opinion. So, but I haven't hiked there. I've only like driven through and like, but the of the walks that I've done, Scotland is just charming and gorgeous.
Now, since you've walked all over the place, you've had food in many different countries. What is your favorite snack to have on a walk?
I am kind of like a two-year-old because I am unfortunately very picky. So I don't, I pretty much just have my like granola bars. I like a Clif Mint granola bar. I don't know. I take that on most of my walks.
There's nothing wrong with a Clif Mint granola bar. I'm totally on board. Just so everybody knows, they can find 3 episodes only on Amazon. And if you have a bunch of other stuff to promote, now's a good time.
Yeah, well, I do have also on Amazon is the documentary that sort of started this all. It's called A Way to Forgiveness. So they're similar in names. So that's also on Amazon Prime. My website is -entertainmentllc.com. And that has a bunch of my short films on there. I do the Forgiveness Minute. Well, I used to. So there's a whole bunch of other, like, what they're literally 1-minute videos on thoughts about forgiveness. So if you're like super dialed in, also wanting to learn about forgiveness, that's on my website. I made a faith-based musical called Broken and Beautiful. That's also on my Dash Entertainment website. And I'm going to be putting out at the end of the month my first animated project. It's called Love May Not Be in the Stars. During the pandemic, I dusted off a 7-minute script and was like, hey, we can do this during the shutdown. We can do an animation project. But animation takes longer than I anticipated. I had never done one before. And I was like, oh, wow, animation is difficult. How long it takes and all the details. But it's finally coming out at the end of the month. So I'm excited for that.
Well, thank you for your time and have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.